In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Here, on the third Sunday of Lent, we are nearly halfway through our Lenten practice. And again, I have a tendency, a predisposition to see Lent as a sad time, a time that's a little morose, a time of fasting, a time when there are no flowers. And yet, I keep trying to remember that in Lent, it is called, we are called to fast, but in order to clear the decks and to remove the distractions in our lives so that we can pay attention and see God's grace more clearly. One of the ways that we are given to see God's grace is through God's law, God's commandments. As we heard during the penitential order, we read the Decalogue, and then we heard it again in our first reading in Scripture. And I wonder, how do you receive commandments, my laws? Are they a heavy burden? Are they a weighty obligation? Is the law oppressive, or is it good news? I thought about this week as Becky and I made a round trip to Hamilton Station, up and down I-295. And you can always see the police at work up and down 295. I'm not the fastest driver out there, but neither am I the slowest, so I'm keeping my eyes out. And I'm pondering, as I'm sure you do too, what is the purpose of the speed limit? Is the purpose of the speed limit to delay me? Is it to slow down my trip? Or perhaps to raise revenue for the state? Is the purpose of the speed limit to limit the utility of that road? Or is perhaps the purpose of the speed limit to maximize the utility of that road? Is it the purpose of the speed limit to help transform me from thinking about just where I want to get to about how this is a shared resource and we're all going to get there faster if we go together? Is the purpose of the speed limit actually to reduce the number of slowdowns due to traffic incidents, not to mention to reduce property damage, injuries, and deaths? And so as I think about the law of God, right, these commandments of God, these instructions of God that we find in the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, they all have a similar purpose. And the purpose of God's law is not to impinge on our liberties, but in fact to maximize our liberty, to maximize our agency, our power to decide for ourselves, to maximize our joy. The Jewish people tend to refer to law as Torah. The first five books of the Old Testament are specifically called Torah. And so we translate that law, but really it's about a way of walking in the world. It's a kind of wisdom literature to give us not just knowledge, but wisdom about how to live well. I think about how I used to really enjoy riding track days on a motorcycle. Now, for track days, we would a big group of us would rent a racetrack, like the Texas World Speedway. And then we would ride around it as fast as we could all day long. But we did it in a very organized fashion. And so we would be divided up into different groups according to our experience and ability. There were the beginners and the intermediates and the advanced group. I never made the advanced group. And so for us who were in the intermediate and beginner groups, in between each heat, right, as we rode in 20-minute cycles, in between, we would receive instruction. More experienced riders would tell us the rules of the track, the protocol for getting around the track safely and quickly, how to enter those corners fast and to get out of them fast, because that was the fun part of riding track. And we were not being taught these rules in order to suppress our exuberance, in order to kill the joy in the track day. In fact, we were being taught these rules so that we could maximize our enjoyment of track day, maximize our chances of getting home with our bodies and our motorcycles in one piece, and also maximize the speed with which we could go around those corners, which was, after all, the fun part of track day. Or for another illustration, I think if you're at work and there's a mentor there, somebody who has been around longer than you have, someone who can point out how to get things done, how to find satisfaction in this job, that can be a great gift. Or I think about parents with their children, right? Establishing rules and teaching life skills, not in order to squash their little spirits, but in order to maximize the possibilities for the growth of those spirits, the opportunities before them. And so, in our readings today, we begin with the Ten Commandments, right? Often seen as kind of the center of the law, the Big Ten. And then we have this just very amusing juxtaposition with our gospel reading, wherein Jesus goes to the temple and promptly breaks every rule his parents ever taught him about going to church. Right? Jesus, who is the very presence of God, finds that following rules for the sake of the rules is not the main thing. But there are other purposes. I mean, imagine Jesus comes into the temple where there's an established way that things happen and just completely disrupts it. My son has a job over his breaks, over his winter break and summer break, working in a local bank. Imagine if I decided to follow Jesus' example, walk into the bank, push over all the tables, and pour out all the money on the ground. How do you think that would go for me? But this is what Jesus did in the temple. Jesus was not a blind follower of rules and conventions, but Jesus did teach his disciples, and that is us, how to walk in God's ways. And so God gives us God's law. Among that law is the Ten Commandments, which is not meant to be oppressive, but meant to be wisdom for living well, how to live the good life, like the best self-help book ever. And so I invite you to consider, maybe this week, check out the Ten Commandments again. You can find them in your Bible, like we did this morning. The scripture reference is in your bulletin. Or you can find them in your prayer book, as we did this morning. And go through those Ten Commandments and think about each one and say, huh, how does breaking this commandment make my life better? Or how does keeping it make my life better? For me, one of the most challenging of those Ten Commandments is the one in the middle, the long one, about the Sabbath. Nowhere in that commandment does it say, thou shalt go to church. Right? It says, you shall celebrate a Sabbath unto the Lord, you shall rest. What would it look like for you to take seriously the idea of Sabbath and to rest? And why is that among the Big Ten in God's law? When I was first out of college and began working in management consulting, one of my big clients was in Houston, Texas, and I'd never been to Texas before. And so I started traveling down there, and some of the others there showed me kind of how things work in Texas. And along the Houston freeways, there are the normal exits and entrances, just like any freeway, just like 295. But there are also these other parallel marks through the grassy medians between the interstate and the surface roads. And they were typically referred to as Texas exits. People with large pickup trucks figured they could get off on and off the interstate wherever they wanted, and it didn't matter where the actual exits were. Now, we could do that here in New Jersey, too, with the New Jersey Turnpike. It'd be a great way to avoid the tolls. But as I've observed in New Jersey Turnpike, it would take a lot of work, wouldn't it? Yeah. It would take some engineering to tunnel through walls or to make ramps down or something. And in the end, it would end up costing a lot more than just paying the toll. Those ramps, those laws of the road, they're provided there to make our lives better and easier. Lent is a season to clear the decks, to remove all the secondary distractions, and to remember what God's purposes are for our lives, what God's intentions are, how God's law is in fact good news for our lives. Lent is a time to make anew the choices before us about how to receive God's good news, the news of God's love in our lives. And the Ten Commandments, that's a good place to start. Amen.
Amen. Amen.